bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the big show. No. It's the big show. Hello. And Alex has popped off. Jeez. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's technology. I, however, will not be joining in very much because I've done sod all apart from work this week. I've surfaced in the morning, started working and gone straight to bed almost, apart from the beer I had with Carl last night, which I had quite a few of them because it was a long week. But it was good beer, wasn't it, mate?
It was very worthwhile, yes.
And the Italian in the gay section of London was a lot of male diners there, and we walked in as four blokes.
What was his name?
Well,
you must have made a lovely couple of years.
We're in the middle of Soho, and we walk into an Italian restaurant, and most of the couples, I guess, in there were blokes. And we were four blokes walking in all together, so we were like an orgy. But no, it was great wine. It was great food, great dinner, great beer, good company. Thank you. The week in technology has not been much for me. I haven't read any of the stories particularly, and I'm not well up on it. The only thing I know is about Richard III being unearthed and proving it's Richard III. So I thought I'd honour him with a picture.
There we go. Oh, dear.
That was the first thing Monday morning, wasn't it?
And as I said on the tweet, I've buried many a Richard III in my time. Joining me to help me through the week's technology news, because I won't be joining in much, is a great panel. We've got a few welcome faces back from a little sojourn away. Not James Hart, who of course is here, is week in, week out, giving us his undivided knowledge. How you doing, mate?
Undivided. I've had a smashing week this week. That's a reference to a YouTube video you haven't seen. Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. And you, it was snowing on the way home, and I don't want that anymore. Thank you very much.
Yes, I drove up M1 tonight, and it was very whitey.
It was brilliant. Driving through a star field, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh right,
my wife would imagine that as well.
But. When you go to warp speed,
yeah,
in no, my little red car. Next to him, making a welcome return the week after BlackBerry. We should have had you in last week, really, mate. Ian Grant.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
How's life in the IT support business?
Not so bad. I've got a new job.
Oh, do we?
Hey.
Go on, mate. Tell us more.
IT consultancy for a smaller, but sort of a small to medium enterprise support business.
You just walk in and go, you don't want to do it like that.
Stuff for them. It should be good.
You just walk in and go, you don't want to do it like that.
No, turn it off and back on again. You say that's what you're telling today. You run away.
You've just bought Virgin Media, haven't you?
I wish.
No responsibility. Well done, mate. Glad to have you back. Joining us from the bottom there, Sarah. How you doing?
Oh, very well, thank you. Another week, and I'm also here as well every week, seems to be anyway.
You sound a lot chirpier actually, because you were kind of like, oh bloody hell, I'm back at work last week.
But. Yeah, well, you know, that's I'm kind of a bit more used to it now. So, but yes, you know, that's the way it goes. And but yeah, I'm here every week, so having fun, so chilling out with you guys.
Excellent.
Could be worse.
Booker in the chat room is telling me I need to have a yellow card. I'm not sure what for.
As long as it's not a red card.
Yellow snow's been mentioned as well, and Simon Toon predictably wants to hit me with the yellow pages. You have to wait for the bash for that. Bart Bushart is joining us. How you doing, mate? Long time no see.
It's been a while, all right, yeah?
It has. I forgot to ask you. It was just out of sight, out of mind.
I've been having a busy winter anyway, so I'm not sure I would have said yes. So it's all good.
Oh, excellent. We like that. I could have get me mouth shut, couldn't I? How have you been? Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year, all that kind of stuff to everyone, since I haven't seen you all ages. No, I've been grand, playing with some new tech, I guess.
Oh, anything fun?
Well, I used to have an iPad 1, and now I have an iPad 4, and it's quite a difference.
Oh, yes. That would be a big leap. I got the 3, and I wouldn't go to the 4, but...
Well, there's no difference apart from the plug. I got an iPhone 5 a few months earlier, so now I have only the 1 plug again, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, that's not too bad. Well done, mate. Jolly good. Batwench in the chat room says she would rather spank me. Oh, there's a cue for that, please. And last but by no means least... The big man himself, Carl Madden. How you doing, buddy? From the media show.
Hello, sir. Thanks for inviting me.
Good, you're welcome. How have you been? Like, I don't know.
Well, up until last night, I was fine. Then someone tried to get me drunk. So
yeah, no, you.
It didn't take much persuading.
I think it's fair to say we kept you out past your bedtime based on the fact you start at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And I paid for it today.
I'd like to say I'm sorry, but
you're not going to.
That's what you get for being childish and coming out with us lot. Foxy was there as well, throwing stuff. The Week in Technology. I really have not. I was saying to Bart, I've been arse down, head down, arse up. I'll edit that, don't worry. That was really funny the first time I said it.
Yeah, it was.
I've been head down, arse up all week, and I have not seen a single story all week. Some crap's going off with Dell. They're going to go in a sale for $24.4 billion. Dell's going to buy it back himself, and he's only had to borrow $2 billion from Microsoft.
He's putting $5 billion of his own money into it.
That really makes you worry, doesn't it? Selling crap out of a dorm at Texas U, and it's that's it. That's the way to do it. I wish I did that. If I had $5 billion in the bank, why would
you comment when people ask, so how's this different to what you suggested Apple do?
True.
Close it down and give all the money back to the shareholders. Apparently, I didn't think that quote was relevant.
If you had $5 billion, would you buy Dell?
No.
He's got more than $5 billion. No. That's only, you know.
I would buy Dell if my name was Dell. That's how it works.
I'd buy Skype.
You
and
Skype.
They'll call you. Well, maybe that's the bit of Microsoft that's been put into it with the $2 billion that they've contributed.
So, why? Dell's up for sale because Dell's struggling. Microsoft, I mean, the story's suggesting that Microsoft here are almost coercing and forcing Dell into continuing to make PCs and not venturing off. I'm not sure what else they're going to do.
Not just PCs, you, and they also have a fairly popular range of, I would say, possibly the only range I can think of really cheap rack mount servers. So in industry, if you don't want to spend too much money on a server, buy a Dell server.
Yeah,
I work in a place where the data center wedge full of those
one right here.
Whoa, hang on a second. Let's try this one at a time. Bart, start us off, mate.
I was going to say, I work in a data center which is wedged full of black servers with those silver badges, and they're grand servers. And I also work in a place wedged full of their desktop machines.
And they're not.
I don't have the same things to say about those things. But what I've heard was that there was a fear that because Dell aren't doing very well, that there might be a bit of a management change proposed by the shareholders. You know, it wouldn't take many activist shareholders to get that kind of thing done. And it would be kind of embarrassing for Michael Dell to be thrown out of Dell. I think poor Steve Jobs out of Apple. So if you own it yourself, only you can fire yourself.
But at least Steve Jobs wasn't called Steve Apple.
True, yes, it's extra embarrassing if your name is your company name.
Ian, what did you have to say? I'll come to you in a sec, Sarah.
I was just concerned about the servers being one of the sort of the best things in the market. The other thing with Dell is the business kit they sell is very good. The consumer stuff they sell isn't so good.
Generally. Well, that's a very good point, Ian, because they do rebadge quite a lot of office kit, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, the printers are shocking because they're all Lexmark with new badges on. And they're all shocking to one you'd ever buy. Nothing's ever good that comes from Lexmark.
Those are the views expressed by Ian Grant alone, and not the views of the British Tech Network or Ewan Rankin, and don't sue my arse. Sarah, what did you have to say on the subject?
Oh, if I can get a word in here. No, I was just simply going to say that the normal reason why somebody does this, as I think has been alluded to, is the fact that if the person who's in charge of it, in this case Michael Dell, who actually owns part of it, but previously owned all of it, feels that he was not happy and hasn't got enough control to be able to do what he wants to do. We've seen this sort of thing happen before where a company goes private because the founder, who's still there, hasn't got enough control to do what he wants to do in order to get it to where he wants to. But there is also a small matter of Silver Lake, who I imagine are probably providing most, given that Michael Dell's putting in $5 billion and Microsoft are putting in $7 billion, I would say that means there's $17 billion that Silver Lake are putting in. I'm sure they'll probably have some say in terms of what happens.
And enlighten us as to who Silver Lake are, because I
assume they're a private equity company.
Right. Okay.
Well, this is it. What amuses me about this is often that companies buy themselves back so that they can maintain the growth at the rate they want to grow, because shareholders just went, so we want our dividend, we want you to make more money, do whatever it needs to be done.
And, well, they do it to bolster the stock price as well, don't they?
But the private equity company is going to want their cut as well, so it is going to propel them into some degree of growth. I'm a bit bewildered by the reason. I mean, there must be a very good reason. These things happen in boardrooms and restaurants, and decisions get made.
The two places that all business
apparently.
You say about the other shareholders wanting their return on investment. I know it's slightly older story, but one of the things that occurred to me is, do you remember when the Facebook IPO happened? I think that was driven by investors who'd actually invested, who said to Mark Zuckerberg, "We want our money back."
Mm.
And I don't think that was Mark doing that at all. So it does show that they have a huge amount of control, even when you've got somebody, you know, such a great figurehead there, you know, at the top.
Carol, I mean, anything to add?
Well, I think the money from Microsoft's interesting, because I know they're saying, like, they might be giving it as a sort of bribe so they won't go off and make Chromebooks or something like that. But I think they might give them the money so they can now push to say to Dell, right, you can make our PCs, but don't put any crapware on them. Just we want a signature edition.
there's
a whole line of PCs. I'm not sure who makes them for Microsoft, but Microsoft do have some completely bare, unbranded, a box that has Windows on it. They sell in the Microsoft shops in the US, and I wonder whether they were OEM'd by Dell or HP.
I was just going to raise a point there, because I had an impromptu meeting on Monday night with a couple of guys that I have to say a huge thank you to, a lad named Dave Smith, and he found my iPhone for me on the site I was on. It had come out of my pocket somewhere. And there's a lesson for all of you here. A, if you think you've switched on Find My iPhone, make sure you have. Because I hadn't. And B, if you had a passcode lock on it, then I wouldn't have got it back, because he managed to open it and find home and ring it. So thank you, Dave Smith. It was brilliant of you. And I tried to say, can I take you and the wife out for dinner or something like that? He wouldn't have a thing. He wouldn't dream of it, he said. So I love you, mate. Cheers, buddy. You're on my Christmas card list.
Not having a passcode lock would be helpful in that one situation where a good
but the rest of the time.
Yeah, but
all the other times, bad idea.
No, I've got a theory, Bart. You see, 90% of the people that you meet are as good as you are, and 10% are a bunch of wankers. And
all you need to do is meet 10 people.
One in 10 chance.
I won't live my life that way. I think people are good. End of story. Anyway, moving on.
Find my iPhone on.
That wasn't the story.
Let's go down. You'd be sorted.
Anyway, moving on. I went and picked it up on Monday night, and while I'm sitting there talking, one of the guys is saying, you use a Mac, don't you? Because they know me from the works. And I said, yeah. Are they good? Yeah. Are they worth the money? Absolutely. Why are they so much more expensive than Windows? Well, they kind of aren't if you go for the top end. We had this huge semantic debate, and one of the guys said, I've just bought one for me daughter for Christmas. And he said, I was gobsmacked. We bought this cheap laptop in PC World, and it came with no software. Nothing. There was no OEM, nothing. He said, we just got a laptop. And we said to the guy, right, thanks very much. And he said, do you not want to buy an operating system for it? And the guy goes, what? He said, you need to buy Windows 8 or Windows 7 for it. They're over there.
What?
There's nothing on it. There is absolutely sod all on this machine.
That's fantastic.
Was it a PC World own brand, as in Packard Bell?
I couldn't tell you who it was, but the trend seems to be moving towards, with the cheaper end machines, to keep the prices down, to keep the high street moving, to keep the sales going, is sell it without software, because people buy it and then open it up at home and go, it won't work. Oh, well, you didn't buy any software. Which means I don't have to give you a refund, because you bought it in a high street store, and you've now got to spend £80 with me or more buying software. So there's an awful lot of this seems to be, from what he was saying, the trend. None of them come. The quote from the PC World sales guy was, "None of them come with software."
I think this is a golden opportunity for free operating systems like Linux to actually get an inroad.
No, I said to him about Linux, and he said we looked into that, and I was pretty impressed, because I wasn't sure how many people would think of or know of.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying if manufacturers want to keep the price down, it's a good way. And obviously, with Dell having now have that investment from Microsoft, that's probably not going to happen. But for them, but But other manufacturers, if they do want to keep the cost down, there's no reason why you can't put Linux Mint or something like that on there.
Perfectly well, the only down, the only slight downside to it. The only slight downside to any of that is if it doesn't come with an optical drive, as some some very thin laptops do now, and you're going to have a right bugger trying to put an operating system on that.
That's a very good point, James.
Just takes a thumb drive. Like, really?
You have to make
the great thing is this means that Linux people who actually want a Linux laptop no longer have to pay the Microsoft tax for no reason other than, well, Microsoft said I should pay for this OS I'm never going to use. Exactly. I think this is a good thing.
Absolutely. The first thing I do when I get a
machine. I can't find me... bare bones laptops on here. I'm just having a nose at it, see if I can find one.
I haven't been able to find one. I've been doing a bit of looking, and you have to go out of your way to find basically a lot of the Linux advocate websites are saying, you know, here are shops you can go to where they won't sell you one with an OS. So I think it may well be more the exception than the rule. Plus the fact that all these consumers, I mean, I imagine there would be consumer outrage if a lot of people had that experience. You'd go to somewhere like Money Saving Expert.
A lot of people wouldn't have any idea.
It depends on how honest they are when selling you. Because if they're doing it to screw you over, if I'm allowed to say that.
No, I don't think they are. They're making the laptop cheaper to sell.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're doing it in an honest way and they're saying, look, you can either buy this cheaper copy of Windows 7 Ultimate, you know, the opposite of Ultimate Mega Home Edition, the basic crappy edition, whatever it's called.
Basic crappy edition.
Or you can buy the pro version of Windows 8, or you can go for free OS. For the first time in as long as I can remember, people will actually stop and think about their choice of OS. It's kind of been taken for granted that you'll take the latest Microsoft Windows that you're given.
I have mentioned PC World, which is where he got it, and I did say that after they got it and they were ready to go, the guy said, what do you need for, you know, you need an OS now. They didn't let him pay for it and walk out the shop and then come back. That was me suggesting that's what could happen, but the PC World guys stopped him and said, you need an OS.
You see, I'm a little bit perplexed by this.
And that's Hearsay's story, by the way, as well. This is how he related it to me. So
my only slight question about this story is that many laptops will, like Dell's, come fitted not just with their OEM user experience on it, but they will also license demo versions of other software providers, you know, your CD-ROM burners and your Office packages and all these other things, which work for about a month, and then you have to pay for them. And in doing so, they can recoup some of the cost of making the laptop. If it's got nothing on it at all, they're not going to make the money out of that, and therefore they can't sell it much more cheaply than if they made it completely OEM flat. That doesn't really figure with me.
Well, it depends on whether they make more from the few bits of crapware than they spend on the Windows license.
True.
They don't spend a lot on the Windows licenses. I mean, historically, rumour has it, your OEM licenses to big buy manufacturers, your Acers and your Dells and whatever, is threepence only anyway, quite literally pennies in the pound to get the out, because Microsoft want the OS out there. It's always almost been a cartel in terms of OEMs, so I'd be very surprised if anyone... any manufacturer lets a machine go out without an OS on it these days.
Right, homework for this week, listener. Homework for this week, listener, is go out and go to PC World and buy a laptop and find out if it comes with an OS on it. Come back with us, drop us an email.
To bring it right round to where we started, if you buy a server from Dell, there's a drop-down to choose your OS, and the default option is none.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I buy Dell servers, that's how I buy them, because we're a Linux shop, great. You don't have to pay for Windows Server and that kind of stuff.
For Windows, Microsoft was pushing Windows 8 hard, though, so obviously they're not pushing it that hard.
Not really. Well, now, we're Dell, I think, premium customers. They have some sort of special name for it. We have a special secret website for only us cool people. So maybe normal people ordering from Dell don't quite get the same luxury.
But, I'm going to say the no OS is quite unusual.
I'm trying to remember the name they give us. It's not premium, but it's one of those Dell Advantage or something like that. Anyway, we're in some program because we buy a lot of stuff.
Dell did actually go through a phase, and I know when I bought my laptop, which was a few years ago from Dell, they went through a phase of offering Ubuntu as an option to keep the cost down.
I mean,
but they don't seem to be doing it anymore. And certainly when I bought my latest server from there, it certainly wasn't an option. Obviously, I didn't need the Windows, but what I did do is I got the disk, and the first thing I did is put Linux on it, keep the disk, and then use it to install in the VM, so I can actually use it that way.
Is Dell stuff Is Dell suffering any more than any other PC manufacturer at the moment, though? Because they're all doing pretty poorly. Going back to reports last year.
I don't think they're doing poorly so much as they're doing less than they were. So I think, you know, kind of returns on expectation are down more than they're about to collapse.
Well, the whole market is really sort of slowed down a great deal, mainly because of the growth of other platforms like tablets. Also, I mean, if you take the fact that Intel have stopped making their own type of, they're manufacturing their own motherboards, that is a big sign that they don't think that PCs are the future in some respects. So, you know what I mean? It's I think there is a slowdown in the PC market. I'm wondering, it does make me wonder what Dell are planning, because they haven't come up with a PDA or a tablet yet. Have they got, is there a Dell tablet?
Yeah, it was the Axios. Axiom.
There's a Windows 7. There's a Windows tablet. The Axiom. I remember the Axiom. It was the same as the iPad, except cheaper.
Well, I might be wrong, because the Axiom was the ship in Wally.
But the Dell have a Windows 8 tablet. I've seen it. It's passed through the office, but I wasn't allowed to play with it because it wasn't for me. But I have seen its physical existence.
No, the thing was, it's like, feel free to show everyone, but don't let Bart touch it.
Well, the XPS, are known as an Apple guy, so when Windows 8 stuff comes through, they hide it from me.
Batwench in the chat room. The quote of the night is definitely going to Bookery. Is there a secret Linux handshake? But Batwinch in the chat room is saying it's still taking the piss. Is there even a BIOS on it? I listened to Terry, the guy that used to be the chief executive of Tesco. I listened to his Desert Island Discs this morning with
Terry Leahy.
Very nice bloke, came across very, very well. And he was put a very blunt question by Kirsty Young, who I've got to say, actually, I think she is the interviewer from heaven. She is superb at the job. And she said, so what about the little family butcher who's put out of business by the fact that Tesco's moved in and whoomph, it's all gone? And he said, well, first of all, I don't think that the little family butcher has to lose out. If they've got a unique selling point, then they'll survive anyway. If they've got innovation, they'll survive. But also, he said, you've got to bear in mind that there is a need to provide a greater quantity of people with cheaper food that's of a higher grade. You go back to 1935. No. You go back to 1935, 1940, and people spent 50% of their salary on food. And now you spend, on average, less than 10%. And that's come through the supermarket process. And he said, so the greater good's there as a result. It might not be very pleasant for the family of the butcher, but it's better for 20,000 families that live in the local area. Which is a good point.
By the way, has found a Dell laptop with Ubuntu.
Right. But my point would be, if Batwench's point, is it taking the piss? I would say that if someone's saying, look, here's the framework that you can now decide how you want to exist. And by the way, we're going to pay, you're going to pay a third of the price as a result. That's got to be a positive thing for the market if you've got people who are bothered to be educated and to take that option. And that it's like the pull-down menu that says, what operating system do you want? None. Thank you very much. I think that's a positive thing, not a negative.
I do, but then I'm a geek, so I would do.
But you don't.
I take a little bit of exception at the Tesco thing, because, of course, all that happens is they just say, screw the suppliers, and they get them, because the prices go down, the suppliers have to work harder. And in some respects, the whole selling it cheaper to the customer is only a false economy, really, because the people who are providing the equipment in the first place, the component suppliers, the operating system suppliers, let's feel sorry for Microsoft for a bit, shall we? That's about enough. Are going to get a worse deal in the long run because people are trying to cut costs so they can sell more boxes. That's capitalism to an extent. But what is that really for the benefit of the customer, save for the face value of it, rather than the sort of the bigger picture? In 15 years' time, are we all going to be suffering because nobody can afford to make an operating system anymore?
Well, I mean, what's the empowerment of the customer? The empowerment of the customer is to make choice, not to be driven in one direction. And Microsoft has existed for 30 years on subsidy. We will give you an operating system for your box at a reduced price, but it has to have this on it. It has to have this on this, all the crapware. And it has to be Microsoft. And it's got to use it's got to use the IE browser. It can't use any of the other browsers. And the EU had to sort that out.
Oh, the EU wouldn't like that at all, would they? No.
And that's all of a sudden gone. And how much money? You know, Bill Gates gives away $29 billion. I'm sorry. I just... If you're making something for people to use and you've got a 30% profit margin, that's a good profit. That's fine. Most companies exist on 10% or less. Mm-hmm. And for an individual who started an organization to give away $29 billion of their personal revenue and still not even feel it, it's close to obscene.
Yeah.
At least he's doing the right thing with it, seeing as they're on the subject.
It's close to obscene that he has that ability to start with, because that shows you just how much, that just shows you just how much Microsoft were coining at the start. And they coined it through subsidy, they coined it through cornering the market, and they coined it through making sure that every box that went out had it as an OS. And Linux had to drive, yes. And Linux, you know, you're the proponent of Linux, Sarah. Linux has had to drive up through a scorched earth to get there.
I'm also a big advocate of what Microsoft did in the 80s. They innovated when everybody else was not doing anything.
Hang on, that's a very interesting history that doesn't tally with the one I remember.
Go on, Bart.
Innovated by nicking stuff.
Well, not by nicking stuff. It was by dirty tactics. If you sell an OS other than ours, we will not give you a cheap rate. I mean, they bullied their way to a monopoly position and then used that monopoly position to retain that monopoly position. They have been the biggest killers of innovation in OSs in the last two decades.
Oh, that's what I think. That's what I said. Ish.
Yeah, but, yeah. I was arguing that with you.
Sarah, go on. You...
No, I'm not going to rise to the bait. We just got to.
But no, seriously. I mean,
no, you know, it's not.
You know, I don't. Bite.
The chat room is asking me whether it would be Kirsty Young or Fiona Bruce, and based on the fact that that was Alex's pick,
Bruce was Alex's pick.
Yeah, exactly. Mine's, right. Mine's Kirsty Young every day. Kirsty Young, she's a blonde. Come on. And Tony in the chat room is saying, imagine there's a burning building. In there, there's Kirsty Young, Fiona Bruce, and Marissa Meyer. You can only save one of them. Which one would you save?
He's also a blonde.
Well, Bruce can burn, but I'll have to think about the other two. I'll come back to you at the end of the show. There we go.
We've got some Marissa Meyer news later.
Oh, really? Were there any other stories this week?
Yes.
Three.
Virgin Media. Okay.
Oh, let's do three, and then we'll do Virgin Media. Three are lowering the cost of 4G for your iPhone.
Why aren't they going to be rebranded to 4? That would just make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, the new network. I've got to say, I went into the EE shop. I was walking down Oxford Street having bought my new shirts. And I went into Three and I said, have you got any 4G plans yet? No. I know they're coming, aren't they? He said, yeah, they're coming, but we haven't got them. I think everyone that walks into Three at the moment goes, you got any 4G plans yet? No, they're coming. And then I went over to EE and I said, have you got any dongles, 4G dongles? Yeah, definitely. What's the price on those? Well, the biggest price line, how much are you expecting? Well, at the moment, I probably go through 25, 30 gig a month. And I've got two accounts with Three that I just swap the SIM card over to make sure that I get the stuff through. And they said, no, the biggest one we've got's 8. Right, how much is that? 26 quid. You're having a laugh. She said, no. She said, we think it's quite popular. I said, you'll buy it in London, maybe, but best of luck selling that anywhere else in the country, because that's just a rip-off. If Three actually come out with something that's a reasonably priced suggestion, I'll take it. And the other thing that gets me, though, and Carl and I had a bit of a talk about this last night, you know, you look at the dongle that you get from Three. I've been in the middle of Victoria all week, and I've had absolutely crap reception, really shitey data speeds. And they're quite happy to take me 20 quid a month, but when it comes down to it, and they're delivering me 1.2 on an HSPA Plus dongle, HSPA Plus is up to 21. 3G is up to 7.2. I don't get 7.2 out of my HSPA Plus. That's the problem that needs fixing, and that's the problem that bloody Ofcom need to fix, not worrying about whether everyone's got 4G or not. And you get 4G, you say, right, oh, we can get up to 41 megabits per second. I'll eat my left foot and be disabled for the rest of my life if anyone's got a 4G dongle right now that goes past 20.
Well, that's because I don't think I have a feeling, because one of my colleagues was talking about, he's just got an iPhone 5 and a 4G contract.
Don't tell me he's gone past 20.
No, he hasn't. And he went to the shop and said, why am I not getting any more than this? And they said, because we haven't set the infrastructure up to do it yet. we're not letting you have it yet. It's not ready yet. And that's the whole thing. The infrastructure just isn't set up for it.
That's like
me
giving
an environment.
That's me giving Ellis a Christmas present. He opens it up and it's an empty box and going, you're only going to get it next year if you've been a good boy all this year.
They sell it on the capability, not the actual what is actually delivered. And the up to thing has been mentioned by Stuart in the chat room. The up to in capital letters is the big issue here. Broadband suppliers have been rapped for that in the past, and it's only fair. But the problem is, of course, when you've got a mobile device that you can sit in a building with concrete walls, you can complain to whoever you like that your cellular provider isn't giving you the reception you want because of the nature of what you've got. If you've got cable coming into your house, it's one bit of cable, and if it gets a bit damp, yes, that's a bit poor, and they can fix that. But there is so much variability that unless you're right next to a transmitter or they have provided an infrastructure which is so blanket coverage, which of course will probably cripple them financially, you're never going to get much. You're not going to get everything everywhere, which is a brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
You walked into that one, James.
It was witty, but crap.
Sax in the chat room says, I often get 4 megabytes plus on my dongle on HSPA. He said, I've had 8 in Motherwell. Well, that's because no one in Motherwell owns any cellular devices, mate. You're lucky that the cell tower's still there.
The other question, of course, the other concern I've got is if you're getting 8 gigabytes a month on your 4G connection, you're going to burn through that in no time.
Yeah.
8 gigabytes. According to their website, their SIM only tariff, 8 gig is £41 a month.
Who's this for EE?
EE.
They told me 26 yesterday. Oh,
It's 26 for 1 gig a month.
But what? So you give you the fastest mobile broadband you can have, and then charge you £26 and only give you 1 gig of it.
What's the point of having 4G then?
Well, there isn't. I mean, like the lowest one they do is 500 meg, and it's £21 a month.
500 meg?
That's...
It's going the wrong way. Has anyone told them the speed is actually faster, not slower?
That's like making a gauge for a truck with a 1 gallon tank.
Oh, man.
You're just going to watch it.
Yeah, no, the truck goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, but you can only put enough fuel in it to go to 50.
That's it. This is the problem, though, isn't it? Everyone was excited when they heard about EE having the 4G spectrum and stuff. But as soon as they launched these prices, everyone just went, you're joking.
It's not a surprise, really, because in all seriousness, they've got to get their money back for the licenses they've paid. That's what it's all about. We saw the same thing happen with 3G when they first... You know, when the government sold the licenses for that.
It's tax. It's a backdoor tax. We inflate the licenses through a bidding process so that they pay more so that we can collect more taxes from you, because effectively what we've got is the money up front from your taxes that you've now got to pay to them as a... It's a government.
Because we know they're going to have to charge more to justify the cost of the licenses, yeah.
Mind you, if June comes along and 3 does put out their service, then obviously E's going to have to... EE's going to have to look at their prices again.
As far as I understood it, the only 3G service that 3 are going to, the 4G service that 3 are going to have is the EE system.
But they're saying they're not going to charge any more money on the tariffs they've currently got, 3. But then again, they're not saying if they've got any caps on.
I reckon they've caught the chief executive of EE banging someone. And that's why we're getting the deals that we're getting, because there's no other. I applaud it, and they've said they're going to do it, and they're going to be pilloried if they don't do it. And I agree with you, Carl. They're going to do it, but how the hell they've got secret sauce that allows them to get EE's network, because that's the only way they get 4G, because they haven't been awarded it yet, and keep the prices the same. I mean, you're talking about me getting 15 gig for £20.
That's reasonable.
What I pay now. I pay 15 gig, £20.
I'm just looking at... I thought what I'd do, because we haven't got any of our American cousins on the show this week. Verizon, 6 gig of shared data, so across your family, $80.
Oh.
You think we got it bad?
America's had the worst.
Actually, I don't know if we want to move on to it, but the Virgin story, and one of the first things that I thought of when I heard about the fact that Virgin was bought by an American company was, God, I hope this doesn't mean that we're going to end up going down the same route that the Americans have in terms of how they try and monopolize
it so that they can monetize it as much as possible.
Well, I don't think we've got too much of a problem there. I mean, if we want to move on to the story now,
let's I'll just do it,
give
yeah.
you my yeah very quickly. So a company has taken over Virgin Media. Well, I was a little bit worried that, of course, that because Richard Branson's got sort of, he's only got a 5% share in it, which I thought was fairly small.
I think that's overinflated.
Because he's got his name on it, everybody gets his sort of warm and fuzzy jumper feeling about it. But actually, Virgin Media is just another company. Albany
by another name.
Absolutely. Albany owns mostly cable providers in Europe. And so it's not the American model. It's an American company, but it doesn't seem to be the American model. What they're trying to do, they've almost shied away from buying a massive network in America for two reasons. One, because a bunch of others have got the monopoly on it already. And two, it's probably too bitty a market. All the rest of it is just too granular to be able to buy into it. So they've gone for Europe, which is the second best thing, really. And they've already got some in Romania, Hungary, Portugal, I think, from what I could read. And all it is they're just getting the UK next. Why not?
I have a slight amount of insider information through a friend of a friend of a friend.
Ooh.
That
Scoop.
Virgin Media are actually a bunch of bastards. I mean, they're an awful firm to work for.
They are
a telco firm who screw you, pay me, screw you, do it. And apparently as well, they're not actually very good at paying their bills.
They're NTL by another name, and they had a bad reputation.
And Telewest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Telewest did... that's right, they were Birmingham Cable to start with. Diamond Cable in Nottinghamshire.
Yeah, it was NTL that bought all the different companies around the UK and brought them all together.
Yeah.
The guy came around and fitted my fibre, like, you know, cable modem. He was slagging them off. When he came, he said they're a terrible company to work for.
Yeah, I say the person that I know, who shall remain nameless, said that they're a difficult and challenging firm to work with, and they don't pay their bills.
They basically get a contracting company, and they try to get each other, the contractors, to outbid each other low to get the contract, which means you get very, very, you know. The guys who come around the house, great guys, because they're desperate for the work, whoever they're working for. But a lot of these companies, I mean, Virgin Media, the Virgin Media guys who I've spoken to say they want to make the customer feel really fuzzy. But actually, at the sharp end, where we're actually doing the work, we've got seven jobs to complete in the morning, and we're rushing around from place to place. And if we can't get it finished, we have to move on. So, you know, and then we have to come back in our own time to finish it if we can't do it, because that's the way it works, which is really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, to the customer, the service is pretty good.
Absolutely. We have to put a word in here for Pearson, who's at Pearson, P-E-A-R-C-E-N, on Twitter. He had high hopes this evening. He bought a brand new 55-inch television that was a smart TV, in inverted commas, and he sat down with Justine TV dialed in because apparently it has flash, and he was going to watch The Big Show live at 55 inches.
Crazy, man.
And I've just picked up his tweet. Apparently... audio came through, but the video didn't.
Which is good. I mean, my face bigger than 2 inches tall, is probably should have a health warning next to it.
Bad luck, Pearson. He'll be here at the Bash, as will the rest of us. If you want to come to the Bash, it's the 5th and 6th of July. 2 days, you say? No. There's one evening, which is the 5th, which is going to be a curry at the best curry house on the planet. The Kismet. I've spoken to Mullen, the owner, and he's going to sort us out. Don't worry. But there's limited spaces. I mean, it's only an Indian restaurant. There's not going to be that many spaces to sit down. So maybe 30 covers or so. And also, then all day the Bash is the 6th, and we've got a fantastic place that I'm paying the deposit on tomorrow, and it's going to hold probably in the region of 200 to 300 people, if that's who wants to come. It's got an outside area and it's got an indoor area, and there's like catering facilities, and it's great. It's a really good venue. The postcode that you need to look for is B36 if you want to book hotels. I think the Travelodge over the road is already full, but you can try. And that's going to be it. It's going to be all day drinking and having fun and shooting the breeze and just chilling out. It's a family's day as well. Steve Neighbour's coming. He's bringing his wife and his kids. My kids are going to be there. I know Aaron Claydon, one of the guys at Elmer, he's bringing up his kids and wife as well. So it's a family day. That as many people as can come is there. We're going to do a charge per person, not including the kids, but that's just to make sure that you come, and it's going to go towards the food. We're looking for sponsors for beer and for food. So if anyone wants to sponsor us, please push out a plea or a plug for us, and they'll get a huge mention as we go through the day. We'll do podcasts there. There'll be no dial-in. It'll just be, if you're there, you'll be on the podcast. If you're not there, you won't be on the podcast, plain and simple. And the Gamer Show is going to be there. I think Sam and Chiz are definitely coming down as well. And it should be great fun. 5th and 6th of July, it's a definite. As of tomorrow, I will not be able to get out of the charge for the hall, and it's expensive. So, and you better all bloody come, all right? I'm sat there on my own, I won't be happy.
Do send us a link to the tickets when it's available.
We'll send some out when we've got some tickets. We did it through Eventbrite last year, and they were complete and utter bastards because they didn't send anything through until 21 days after the function had finished or something.
Oh, and they still charge like £2 for the privilege.
Exactly. So we'll do it through PayPal, and we'll give you out the PayPal address for us, and when you send the PayPal through, you'll go in and you'll be reserved a price. So there you go.
We'll put something on the site.
Yeah, we'll put some up. Don't worry about it. We'll sort it in soon. But that's the date, 5th and 6th. 5th is the curry night, and 6th is the bash. The curry night, you just turn up. I'll book the restaurant out, and you're going to be liable for the charge. So we'll have to. We might have to do a curry fee as well or something. So we'll sort that out. But we'll get there. 5th and 6th, definite. Right. So we're going to be sued tonight then by Dell at Microsoft, Virgin Media, and EE. So three are the only people that aren't going to screw us.
Can we get sued by the Iranians?
Yes. The other one was, "Where's my dinner, Dad?" is going into space, allegedly. He wants to be the first Iranian in space. And the hurtful comment, which I think is terrible, is that he can stay there.
Well, if it's anything like the monkeys, we'll get a different one back. It'll be grand.
Mm. Any other stories that we fancy talking about?
Are you game for the UPNP one?
Go for it, Bart. Now, this is Bart's story. This is a bring a story party, and Bart brought a story about UMP PNP with no link. And
Look, there's a link, look.
Oh, where's the link? Where's the link? Where's the link?
It's a frightening link. It's about halfway down. Radpid 7 discovers massive UPNP flaws.
Right, yeah. Bart.
That sums it up, really.
Bart, it's your story. Take us through it, bud.
Horrible.
Okay, so UPNP is Universal Plug and Play. It's a protocol that allows your computers to reprogram your router to automatically map through ports and things like that, which is very handy if you want to get onto Xbox Live, because in the olden days you had to log into your router and manually, you know, do the port mappings and stuff.
And it never worked with PS3 and all that kind of stuff as well. It was crap with a Mac.
Yeah. But so in theory, it's something for you in your LAN to reprogram your router. But there was security research were worried that some of them were also listening on the other side, on the WAN side, i.e. you were allowing the entire internet to reprogram your router. So they decided to do some research and quantify the problem. So over 6 months, they scanned the entire public internet a number of times and found that there were 80 million device or IP addresses answering to UPnP discover requests on the public internet, which is bad.
A couple. Well,
it does get a little worse, because as well as discovering that there were lots of routers listening, they also discovered that the implementations of UPnP are buggy as bejesus. They actually found a whole bunch of new vulnerabilities just by doing these tests. And at least 23 million of these routers can have a code execution attack run on them by sending a single packet at them.
Ooh.
And that will just take over your routers. And once they have your router, they can really have fun with you. They can muck with your DNS, watch all of your traffic. It's just, you don't really want someone controlling how you access the internet. That's a very dangerous thing. So the most important thing to do is to check your router. So there is a second link in the show notes, which is a little quick tester. It takes about 30 seconds. You pray that you get a little green checkbox that says your router did not answer. I did, I'm happy to say, as did my parents and my grandparents, who I also sent the link to. if it does come back with not a green checkbox, the first thing you should do is try turn off UPnP in your router. This is likely to work, but not guaranteed to work, because there are some routers whose interface will tell you UPnP is off. But the router will happily continue to do UPnP, in which case you need to buy a new router that isn't so rubbish. I would just say to everyone, do the test.
Do it now, kids. Passes.
Yeah, exactly. Do it now. And also remember your family, your mommies and your daddies all over the place. All of those family members you do internet tech support for. Just check them out. Because now that this research is out there, the bad guys will know about this, and it's not going to be long until they start using it.
If you're interested, the link is, if you just type UPnP, check Rapid7 into your favorite search engine, it will come up as the first entry.
Yes.
Well, the problem you have is that, unfortunately, cheap routers go, what can we do? What can we do to make our router a bit more sexy? I know, there's that thing where you can share media through the house. Let's rattle something off, sling it on the router, not let them think any more about it. And of course, it's half-assed at best, and therefore people have them. People's routers. I mean, I was just doing a bit of research earlier on the show when I first saw the link, and D-Link have vulnerabilities. I mean, there are constantly scanning internet ports, not just for real easy ones, fish in a barrel jobs. This is looking for vulnerabilities in routers that just get plugged in, switched on, and left connected to the internet, and people can hack onto them. And who upgrades the firmware on their router on a regular basis? Nobody does.
Exactly.
And then, frightening. And then there's always some twat who thinks, my router's clear, I'll show the scan results, and doesn't realise their IP's on there till they flash it up.
Right, everybody round Windrider's house.
What a shithead.
Windrider's house,
Steady.
No, I'm talking about me. I've got to edit that now.
Oops. Pretty much every major brand has at least one or two affected routers, particularly older ones. With one exception, which is Apple's AirPorts are all in the clear because they don't actually have UPnP. They use NatPnP.
Oh, you could have told me before I did the bloody test. Yeah, bastard, Bouchats.
Linksys, Cisco, Netgear, Zeissel, all those names are on the list of affected products. Now, it's not that every single product from Cisco is affected, but some of the affected products are from big names like Cisco. It's just routers. It's also smart TVs and printers and anything else that talks UPnP. But really, your printer shouldn't be on the public internet anyway. And if you have your printer on the public internet, you have much bigger problems.
And there's no fixes there. If it fails, you've got to go and get a new router.
Well, no, the first fix is try turning off UPnP. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't respond to the command to not do it, then you have to go buy a new router.
Yeah.
I was just Saxon in the chat room was saying that Sky update their routers remotely all the time, which is kind of reassuring in a way, but a bit frightening.
Oh, Sky's...
I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah, it's either good or bad all at once.
I got a note from Sky saying, your box isn't plugged into the phone line.
Oh, yes, they don't like that.
That years ago.
No, they still do it. And they threatened to bill me. And I was like, I'll tell you what, shove it up your arse then.
For Babe Station.
No. That's a rumour. That's a vicious rumour. There's enough people suing us tonight, James. I was like, no, take it. I'm not going to have it. And ended up, I had to run a bloody cable through where they were going to double my bill. They were going to send me an £80 charge on it.
It is a little bit bonkers, especially since most Skyboxes, my TiVo is connected to the local network now. Why can't it communicate through modern means? Is your Skybox connected to your network?
Now, the thing is, like, everyone's done the test.
Yep. And it's your knee bone.
And it's come back, and Winrod has put his IP in the chat room, okay. But yay, my router passed. And then they put, congratulations, your router didn't respond. Carl Madden said nothing, which means that Carl Madden's got a problem.
he's crying a bit.
Worried as well.
What?
Have you done the test, dude?
No, not yet.
Oh.
He lied. I was just going to say, British Tech Network, it's not just tech stories. There is something useful there. So, yeah.
No, that's only because Bart's on. Next week, we'll go back to being crap.
One other point to make is, in theory, your ISP can save you from this. So if your router fails and you feel like trying to talk sense into your ISP, you can try that too. Because it's just UPnP on one port, and really every ISP should be blocking it. and they all do this kind of thing, because ISPs as a rule block the Windows file sharing ports, because when they didn't do that, people were accidentally sharing their C drive with the planet. So ISPs have the power to just protect all of their customers in one go.
What's a C drive?
Well, if you're a Mac user, think of your Macintosh
your
HD.
Your hard disk.
I'm joking. Well, I know what a frigging C drive is.
Yeah, hang on.
And a D drive is an optical drive, see? See?
Or a Linux user, you'd be talking about slash, or, you know.
I was going to say slash would be or slash root or slash bar or whatever. Slash home.
Slash builder.
This list of Linux commands was brought to you by UK2.net. The fantastic people that keep us afloat. We cannot do without them. Every week, we just come out with something that's, please. Optical drive, says the chat room. Yeah, I remember optical drives. If you've got anything that you need for the web, you need a domain name. You need a co-location services. If you need a hosting service for servers, dedicated servers, shared servers, tons of stuff. This is what UK2 do. They're brilliant because they've got good customer services. We've never had any problems. And the people that I know that buy that write in say, really pleased I found UK2. Thanks very much, British Tech Network. And the service was great. The setup was easy. If you raise a critical ticket, you'll get it back within the hour. They're excellent. Really, really good. And if you buy your service and use our offer codes, then you get it cheaper as well as. So you can save yourself an absolute fortune. Anything that you need for the web, go to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, use the link through to UK2, even if you just want to sign into your account, and then come back and use those offer codes. And those offer codes could clear your basket in some cases. Massive reductions. There isn't a service that they provide that you can't get a reduction on using a British Tech Network offer code. And there's no one else in the UK has got the number of offer codes that we've got. We are their prime supporter, and they're our prime supporter. And the nice thing is, you know, we're a free show. We don't have any sponsors apart from them, and they keep us afloat. If we didn't have them, I couldn't afford the bandwidth. It'd be a £450 charge every month just to pick up the bandwidth costs that we have. So please, 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 if you can, go and support UK2, because you keep us afloat in the process. Brilliant. It's that time. It's the cool thing. And Jimmy Boy Hart is going to start us off.
I am indeed. Now, this was one I was going to do last week, but I thought under the circumstances it probably wouldn't be discreet. It's I've been looking for one reason or another for an internet radio player for Android, and there is one called XIAA Live, and it is probably one of the most elegant apps I've seen. It's smooth. It's a really nice to use application. And it's obviously got its own set of presets, but you can add your own presets as well. For example, Mint FM, and it's free. So XIAA Live, type it in the old Play Store, or you can go to XIAALive.com.
I did that, James, earlier on, and it came up with a page not found.
James is going to fix the link and we'll get back to you in a moment. James, your mouth is 404.
As always.
It may need the www stuck on the front of it.
I tried that as well.
No. Ian, have you got a cool thing?
I do. I have a couple. First off is breathing life into old handset kind of thing with my mobile's a Galaxy S2. I mean, Samsung have stopped sort of really providing any decent updates for that. There's a great group of developers out there called Slim and SlimROM. It's similar to sort of Cyanogen, but different again. It's completely stock, completely direct from Google, 4.2.1 ice cream sandwich, bloody thing, jelly bean. And it's really excellent. Got it on my phone. I get superb battery life. Works really, really well. That's one. You can get it from slimrom.net. Download. Okay. It's available for quite a few handsets, not just the Galaxies. Also, Nexus tablets, some of the HTCs. And the other little thing was a thing called Mighty Text, if you've got an Android phone, which links your phone to a browser or another app. And you can, it's a link from my son to be, my son found it. You can leave your phone charging and you can have a browser window open and you can see your texts as they come in.
Ooh.
It links up with your
phone.
Say
that again.
It's a little app
Yes.
Sits on your phone, signs into your Google account, which links to your text. Then via its app allows you to see them on your another app on another Android device. He has one on his Nexus 7 and on his phone, leaves his phone charging, has the app running on his Nexus 7, replies to his texts without having to actually get up and go after his phone. It's because he's lazy. He's a
teenager.
That's
cool.
But you can also do it like I'm doing it now. I've got my I've got a browser window open now with my text in, and I can see all my texts.
I hope there's security on that.
Yeah, there is. It's all set through your Google account. It's an HTTPS link.
It's out of your router.
We like
that's
that.
Very neat.
It's a neat little thing called Mighty Text. Have a look at that one. It's well worth a play.
It's not relying on UPnP then?
No, not as far as I know.
All right, okay.
You want to stick a link in the chat room, Ian?
I will do that.
There's one in the dock, I think, but...
There's one in the slim rods.
No, I didn't. I changed my mind at the last minute, actually.
All right, stick it in the dock and shove it in there. Well done, mate. Good picks. Sarah, what have you got for a school?
I haven't got one, but I was going to nick one of Mr. Madden's.
No,
I'll be honest, and I've got one and leave it to him.
That's all right, then. Bart, what have you got, mate?
I've got a Mac app called Boom, which is a really cool app that by some sort of magical wave thingy-majiggies manages to make laptop speakers sound louder than they are. And they do some sort of...
Is this with or without damage?
Without damage. They just sort of reshift the bass and stuff to make it sound louder. And it really works. I got a new-to-me MacBook Pro over Christmas, then a second-hand one. And it's a 13-inch one, and I've always had 17 inches before. So I was very disappointed when I brought it down to the kitchen and tried to watch telly on it, that it was way too quiet and tinny. And so I remembered I'd bought Boom in one of these bundles ages ago, and I stuck it on, and I'm just really impressed at how well it works.
$5.99 or £4.99, are you going to give us a euro value there?
I can't because I bought it, therefore it's blocked out. I think it was £4.50, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right, that'll do. Excellent. I'm £4.99 out of pocket then.
Success.
I hate doing this
only
show.
Only I got commission.
Doing this show cost me a frigging fortune because all the picks that cost money I end up bloody buying. I pass over the free crap.
It's why you have Carl Swagger back week after week because you know he's going to come up with something free.
No, because I pass over the free crap. I don't even listen.
You're lucky I didn't pick what I was thinking of picking, which is the Joby Gorilla Pod for SLR with zoom lens.
Oh, mate. Head. I got two of them.
That came to a lot more money.
No, the ball head's crap.
What's for me?
No, it will do for now, but trust me, 6 months down the line, it'll be absolutely pointless. You might as well just wrap it with a Kleenex and tie it off. Toilet paper, and
that's going to get to it, I guess. It's still a good tripod, even if the ball head's rough, if you can screw another ball head onto it.
If you're a serious photographer, the biggest thing I can give you as a tip, and Alex Fox will back me up on this, never buy a ball head. Because they work fine for about a month, and then all of a sudden they start slipping, and you can't keep them up. And with an SLR on that, you're going to really regret that in about a 3 months' time, mate.
You just can't keep it up, oh dear.
But the Joby Gorilla Pod SLR is the best thing that you can buy. I own two of them, and I use them most weeks with GoPros. There you go. Beautiful. You might say I've overspec'd there with the SLR, but trust me, some of the places I hang cameras, you really don't want to...
Well, I'm probably going to use it mostly for a GoPro as well, but I don't want to break a GoPro. They're cheap, but they're not that cheap.
Chat room says iPhone holder, and if you want an iPhone holder, Glyph.
There you go. Glyph, actually. So Glyph and Joby.
Glyph and a Joby, and actually Camelapps. Camelapps, Glyph, Joby. Perfect. Just watch out with the Joby, though, because the if it tilts ever so slightly, the Glyph's not particularly good at holding it in.
Yeah, you got to keep it flat. Yeah.
I got a dented corner from that. Mr. Madden, you've waited very patiently, but you have the anti-Will Green pick.
Oh, no, I wasn't going for that one.
No, you've got to go for that one.
I'll come to that one afterwards.
All right, mate, do that.
First one.
Long one. Talk through us all.
Undercover 5. Okay, Undercover 5, what it is it sits, you load it onto your Mac, and it sits in the background. And what it does is if anyone ever comes along and steals your Mac, and then they plug it in somewhere else, you can report your Mac as stolen. And what it will do is it will sit there, quietly taking pictures of the person who's using your Mac now, logging every single keystroke they do, and sending those pictures back to you.
Based on someone who's lost something this week, that sounds brilliant.
What it was, the reason I got it is our neighbours a couple of doors down got burgled a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, oh God, say someone got in here and took all this stuff that I've got here. I'd never get any of it back. But with this thing, literally every 8 minutes, it's taking a new screenshot. It's looking at every single thing that's going on the screen. It's logging every keystroke so you can get into, if they go to Facebook, you can get all their passwords and everything. You can put it all into a nice little package and send it off to the old Bill who's investigating your case as well. And the price of this, hang on.
£31.26. Household license up to 5 max £37.64. Site license £190.78. Student license £24.88. Upgrade to household £10.21. And volume education license £6.37. I am now £37.64 out of pocket. Bastard, Madden.
Done the 5 max. And you can test it out yourself. If you don't think it's working, if you just want to try it, you can just set it up. You don't have to report it stolen. But you can just, it will just capture you working away and what you're doing, and it's kind of a bit scary.
Sounds
really
like it.
Those,
I'm very tempted just to leave my air lying somewhere and let someone take it.
Does it get those compromising shots that if you're a chief executive of a large multinational would cause you to resign?
Possibly. I mean, most people leave their Macs on all the time, don't they? So
I've got to say as well, tweet of the week for me was a gay man who tweeted out that he could not wait to get married now because he could find someone else to take his speeding offences. Well done, man. Excellent. Carl, sorry to interrupt. Go back. Here we go. Pick number two.
Okay, it's Plex.
Oh, the anti-Will Green hates Plex, couldn't get it off his Mac, but you swear by it, and you showed some stuff last night at the restaurant, which was just so impressive. The problem is, Will, he doesn't read the manual, but...
Plex is useful, in my humble opinion. It's all good and well while you want it there, but when you don't want it there...
That's it. Getting it off is a nightmare.
But the way you were showing it yesterday, mate, why on earth would you want to get it off?
Well, the first Mac I put it on, it completely messed it up. I thought it completely messed it up. Turns out I was getting memory failure on the Mac I installed it on. So I tried to get it off again, and it completely messed up my Mac by me trying to get it off again. But then I put it onto a clean Mac, and it worked perfectly. Mm. So it comes in two forms. It comes as like a server and also as a receiver, a streamer sort of thing. And you can have a streamer on your Mac or on a jailbroken Apple TV 2 or 1, I think. You can buy apps for your iPad, Android, Windows phones, and iPhones. And you can stream the movies to you or your TV shows to you, whatever you've got on your server. And you can also sign up for something called MyPlex as well, where you can share your collection with other people, your friends. Now, I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not, but it's something you can do.
I like the share idea. Is that kind of illegal?
If you're sharing copyrighted material, yes. If
which you would sharing... never do.
No, of course you would. But if you're sharing your home movies, you can like share it out to your family, and it's a place where they can just go, sign in with their username, and stream your content to them. And it worked brilliantly.
I've got to say, I would love to get a T-shirt made up that says, "I torrent like a bitch." I haven't got the guts. I don't either. Just want to say. Just saying. Excellent picks, mate. Excellent picks. And can't wait to tell Greeny tomorrow on the Mac show that you picked Plex tonight.
Can I just do one more as well? I don't know if you
yes!
know. Do you know this one called Hola? Hola.
Sarah, I hope you hang your head in shame, woman.
I am.
Oh, to be fair, though, Carl's been saving these up, I'm sure.
To be fair, Carl has nothing to do from 3 o'clock in the afternoon onwards. But go on.
So Hola is a Chrome and Firefox extension. Which you plug in. And
Sarah nearly swore.
Sorry? I
did. Sarah was close to saying the F word there.
Yeah.
For the second time this year.
So what you do is you install the extension, and what it will do is it will act like a VPN service. So once you've installed this, you can pretend you're in the States, so you can stream Hulu or Netflix US to yourself if you're in the UK. And if you're in America, you can stream iPlayer over there.
And it fits Windows IE. Android setups, Chrome, Firefox, Apple, the whole shebang.
And it works perfect on Chrome, like.
Really?
It's great. I was watching Hulu the other day, so.
Yeah, I've got a US Hulu account, and I've used, what's the one that you told me before?
Oh, I can't remember.
The one with the bird. The one with the bird, the blue.
Is it Hotspot?
Flux.
Yeah, something about Flux.
Flux. Anyway, that works very well. Works very well. But I'll try that now. Is that free? That's free.
That's free. It's just a plug-in.
Right, that's good. I've spent less than 50 quid so far.
Spot Flux was the other thing.
My pick, I use tons and tons and tons of SD cards. And I hate, to a certain degree, using SD cards because the only problems I've had have been with SD cards. Compact flash I never get any issues with, and I've only got one camera now that shoots compact flash anymore, so I'll be very choosy about where I've bought my SD cards and which ones I've bought. And I endorse SanDisk, but I don't endorse all the SanDisk. I bought some SanDisk Ultra 64s a couple of weeks ago, and fortunately, before I used them in anger on a commercial job, I went out and used them to film the rugby club practicing their lineouts because they'd asked me to do some video analysis stuff with them, and I got a card failure, and it was literally the second time I'd used this card and I got the card failure. So steer away from the Ultras, but the Extremes are extremely good. I use.
I was just going to say, I know I had SanDisk, so I just grabbed that in my camera. I use the Extreme Pros.
Good lad.
Like 95 megabits per second. They're just gorgeous cards.
They're a lot more that you need. I mean, you only need to go up to 45 megabits a second. 20 megabits a second will do HD video quite comfortably. But
for the other side, when you come home and you want to get all that stuff off your camera without waiting until the Ice Age comes back.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Everyone buys their SanDisk or their SD card based on the video rate that it transposes. But if you've got a camera on burst mode at 9 frames a second or 5 frames a second at full resolution, you're adding far more to that than it can cope with. And you get buffer issues relating to that quite regularly. 45 megabits a second, I find, deals with all the burst mode issues that I've got with all the cameras, up to 9 megabits, up to 9 frames per second. So buy the 64 gig SanDisk Extreme, and Amazon have them at 47 quid at the moment, which is 30 quid cheaper than I can buy them anywhere else.
What capacity is that again?
64 gig.
Oh, that's not bad, is it?
SanDisk Ultra.
It's very good.
47.44. I bought two... SanDisk Extremes. I bought two Ultras the other week for £70, which was a bit expensive. For 100, you can get the Extremes here. So it's a good price. Very good price at Amazon at the moment in the UK. There you go. That's my pick.
I think I paid €47 for 32 gig Extreme Pros.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Getting the 64 gig for £47 is very good.
I bought two 32s the other week in Costco, and I paid £38 for those. So I was well chuffed to see a 64 for 47.
Yeah.
And the 64 gig Ultras were still costing me 40 quid the other week. So it's a good price, a real good price.
Mm.
Excellent. Thank you very much for this evening. You've been a fantastic panel. Where can we get a hold of you, Jimmy Boy Hart?
I'm on Twitter. I tell you what I'm not doing for two reasons. One is because I haven't got an iPhone. And it's not available for Android yet. And two, because it is pretty much the most horrible thing I've ever seen. Is you won't find me using Vine. 6 seconds of video means people are trying to do cutscenes. Bash, 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 bash. It's just too much for my eyes and my brain. And then it repeats after 6 seconds. It's like my worst nightmare come to life watching a Vine video. So you won't find me using that, but you will find me on Twitter at Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y.
You do realise that Universal Pictures is trying to make a Vine video and they're going to charge $8.95 a seat to watch it on a Saturday morning.
Oh, I'm frightened by that.
This is just the animated GIF coming back from the dead.
You wouldn't mind, but 3 seconds are going to be credits.
It is like the...
If there's anyone listening from Universal Pictures, I completely friggin' made that up, okay? Just
No, thank you very much.
It's 20th Century Fox. Thank you, Carl. Ian Grant, where are you, buddy?
The usual place at TIOA, BOA, on Twitter.
Excellent, mate. Sarah?
On the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK. And by the way, Ewan, that was a really good pick.
Thank you. That's the first time you ever said that.
No, it's just that I've been actually looking at, and I know that SD cards can be problematic in cameras, so I was actually going to ask you. I've been meaning to ask you for a while, so that's a good pick. Thanks.
The times I've had problems with SD cards has always been when I've shot in burst. So I've shot very rapidly, or I've held the shutter down at a sporting event or something like that. And that usually ends up with some juju that goes on between the card and the buffer, that just one's writing and it thinks it's writing and the card thinks it's receiving and it's not receiving, and the two of them just kind of go into a brain fart. Allegedly, if you want to take video, 20 megabits a second transfer rate's fine, but you're better off with 30 to 45. And if you want to do, I mean, the pro that you've got there, Bart, that'll take 24 megapixels at 9 frames a second. So it's probably well beyond the capacity of what most people need.
Oh, yeah. It's just me being, I don't know, I like...
I got the money. Schwang. I've had a drink. Yeah. I'll buy the card. Mr. Bouchers, where are you?
You'll find me every second week hosting the International Mac Podcast at iampodcast.com, and you'll find my personal, you know, photography and stuff at bartb.ie.
Have you bought belgianirish.com? Because you really bloody should.
That's a really good idea.
It's got to be available. Belgianirish.com. That's where you can find Bart Buttshots.
It sounds like a chocolate liqueur, doesn't it? Chocolate whiskey.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. And then somehow you make chips out of it with mayonnaise.
I'm smooth and I give you heartburn. Carl, where are you, buddy?
Well, first I'd like to say that my equipment did not respond to external probes, so that's good news.
I bet Batwench is disappointed.
I was going to say, those external probes.
That's the only reason that you've not had alien abduction yet. They can't find an examination bed to fit you on, can they?
I can't find a ladder to reach up. Anyway, so you can get me at Claw0101 on Twitter or on the Here and There show with Missy, which we get up to all kinds of nonsense every week.
And what did you talk about this week? You were in trouble the other week, I noticed, on the...
On the what?
You were afraid or something.
I'm always afraid of...
Missy was very fussy on the last show. She not a good feisty mood.
Yeah.
She was.
The Here and There show. Where is it at? Say it again.
Just Google Here and There. We normally come right up at the top now.
There's no one else with a Here and There show.
Yeah. Well, there are. It's some photography places and a few other things, but we beat them.
Good. So Claw0101, and you don't want to do a Google Plus thing, or?
No, I don't use it that often.
Nah.
I go for little spurts.
I haven't opened that for ages. By default, it comes up.
Ewan, for the benefit of SM2N in the chat room, very quick bit of Yahoo news this week, the Marissa Meyer corner, is that they're partnering with Google to do ads, which is news.
Yeah, Google. Jolly good. Apparently, Tooney says that they're most likely talking about letting Fiona Bruce burn to death. they appear to have lost audio in the chat room for some reason. I don't know why. I hope we're still recording, because if we're not, then it's going to be another blank week this week. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and I will be here as well. We'll be back next Thursday night for the big show. It'll be a summary of everything that's big in the technology world. Someone wrote in this week and said, why is the big show called the big show? And the reason was that when we started, we only had the daily show, which was 3 minutes long. And then me and a guy called Mark Silk used to do the big show, which was the two of us just chit-chatting. It was a phone call that we used to have every week. And we just thought about calling it the big show. There you go. So, because it was bigger than all the rest. So that's why this is called the big show.
12.
This is the big show. Because it's bigger. There we go. I don't overrun, if that's what you mean, because that's the Mac show. But it's still bigger. Now I'm overrun tonight. We'll see you next week. Bye.